You're listening to a presentation brought to you by Mystery Play Internet Radio.
This podcast is proud to be part of the Blueberry Network. That's blueberry with no E's .com.
Notable melodramas from stage and screen, fiction and radio, presented each week to bring you to the edge of your chair.
Good evening. This is Orson Welles. Personally, I've never met anybody who didn't like a good ghost story. But I know a lot of people who think there are a lot of people who don't like a good ghost story. For the benefit of these, at least, I go on record at the outset of this evening's entertainment with a sober assurance that although blood may be curdled on this program, none will be spilt. There's no shooting, knifing, throttling, axing, or poisoning here. No clanking chains, no cobwebs, no bony and or hairy hands appearing from secret panels or, better yet, bedroom curtains. If it's any part of that dear old phosphorescent foolishness that people who don't like ghost stories don't like, then again, I promise you, we haven't got it. Not tonight. What we do have is a thriller. It's half as good as we think it is. You can call it a shocker. It's already been called a real Orson Welles story. Now, frankly, I don't know what this means. I've been on the air directing and acting in my own shows for quite a while now, and I don't suppose I've done more than half a dozen thrillers in all that time. Honestly, I don't think even that many, but it seems I do have a reputation for the uncanny. Quite possibly, a little escapade of mine involving a couple of planets, which shall be nameless, is responsible. Doesn't really matter. Don't think I disapprove of thrillers. I don't. A story doesn't have to appeal to the heart. It can also appeal to the spine. Sometimes you want your heart to be warmed, and sometimes you want your spine to tingle. The tingling, it's to be hoped, will be quite audible as you listen tonight.
Hello, this is Clyde J. Kale with a brief reminder. Mystery Play Internet Radio is listener-supported, so I encourage your monetary support with a donation today. Please visit www.mpir-otr.com and click on the donations page. A one-time donation of any amount will be greatly appreciated. Again, that's www.mpir-otr.com. And thank you for listening to Mystery Play Internet Radio.
Hello? Yes, this is the Falcon speaking. Oh, Doris. No, you'll have to include me out tonight. I've got to discuss an idea for a movie. No, I can't make it, Angel. No, I can't miss this. These characters have dreamed up the perfect switch. Instead of shooting pictures, they plan to shoot people.
Once again, the adventures of the Falcon. Dedicated to private investigators everywhere. Those hard-hitting detectives who, like Mike Waring, risk their lives to aid law enforcement agencies. So join him now when the Falcon solves
The Case of the Falling Star.
It's Sunday afternoon in New York, and in his hotel suite, Ken Marlowe, who smashed his way to movie stardom by portraying a two-fisted drinking man, is giving a sample of the performance that made him famous. Only this time, Ken isn't acting.
I'll fix them all. When I get through with those crumbs, they'll know better than the horse. Yeah? Well, it's about time, fella.
That's what I thought, too.
Huh?
How are you, Ken?
Oh, Jackie Howard. I'm sorry. I I was expecting somebody else.
I'll bet she's a lot prettier.
Nothing like that. I'm here with a wife. It's a funny thing. I didn't even know you were in town. I thought I left you on the West Coast.
Well, haven't you heard? Trailways runs all over the country. All you got to do is buy a ticket.
Look, Jackie, I know what you want. I intended to clean up that 15 grand I owe you before I left.
It's 19.
Oh, 15, 19. What's the difference? I'm good for it.
Are you? Someone told me you washed up at National Pictures.
They're crazy. I'm in like Flynn.
Well, I'm glad to hear it. Of course, if they don't pick up your option, you see my position. As I said, you're into me for 19 grand.
And as I said, I'm good for it. I can write my own ticket at any studio. Who is the number one box office draw on 49?
You?
Well, they are.
No, there you were. That was 49, Ken. 3 years is like 300 in Hollywood.
Look, I tell you, you got nothing to worry about. National will pick up my option on the 23rd.
And when can I expect you to pick up these IOUs?
Look, Jackie, if you're going to take that attitude, you can whistle for your dough. Nobody pushes me around.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. You're a pretty tough boy in pictures.
That's right.
Well, luckily, I never go to the movies.
What's the idea?
Let's understand each other, Ken. You owe me 19 grand. I expect to have it on the 23rd. If I don't, you'll
be... Hello, darling, I'm back.
Can't you say I'm busy, Laura?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, there's no need to apologize, Mrs. Marlowe. I'm Jackie Howard.
How do you do? I've heard so much about you.
I wish I could say it wasn't true.
Well, I'm sure I'm in the way, so if you'll excuse me...
Oh, no, don't bother. I was just leaving. Well, what do you say, Ken? Shall we make it for a week from Friday?
I'll do my best.
That's all I ask. Well, this has been a real pleasure, Mrs. Marlowe. Maybe we'll meet again.
I hope so.
A dirty bum.
What was he doing here?
None of your business.
Darling, I don't want to make a noise like a wife, but if you owe Jackie Howard
money...
I said it's none
of your business.
But don't you understand? I'm only thinking of you. If you're in a jam,
will you
I
stop
want...
nagging?
But all I want to
all
do
you
is
want to do
able...
is drive me crazy. Where's my coat? I'm going to find a place where a man can have a drink in peace.
Oh, hi, Steve. Can I help you?
Yeah, is Mr. Marlowe... Never mind, I see him. Hello, Ken. I've been looking for you.
What do you want, Steve?
Just saw Laura. You're really living your part, aren't you, boy?
What?
The two-fisted He-Man. That's a beautiful shiner she's sporting.
Somebody asked you?
No, but I hate to see you louse her up. She's one in a million. Look how she stuck by you when you got in that mess out in Beverly Hills.
Why don't you mind your own business, Steve?
I try to.
Well, you're not very good at it. I pay you 200 bucks a week to take care of my publicity. I haven't seen my name in print for months.
Sometimes a publicity man does a job by keeping his client's name out of the papers.
What kind of a crack is that?
Who squared that beef with that girl in Santa Monica and that little chicken Encino?
Look, Steve, if you don't like it, you know what you can do.
You know, I was just thinking, if National doesn't pick up your option, you're going to be in trouble.
Who says so? I could go to Metro or Fox.
Well, I got a scoop for you, boy. They wouldn't let you through the main gate. Your only chance is National. Now, you've got to behave yourself until they make up their minds. Kind of a jam did you get yourself into with Jackie Howard?
Oh, so Laura's been blabbing.
She hasn't been doing anything of the kind. I saw Jackie in the lobby. I put two and two together.
Well, if you'd stop adding and pay more attention to business, we'd all be better off. Why don't you get me some publicity?
Okay. Maybe you could stop a runaway horse.
Don't be funny.
I was just pointing out that putting three quarts of booze away isn't considered front page stuff anymore. You see, editors are funny. Wait a minute.
I got an idea. Suppose my life was threatened.
Oh, forget it.
Why? It sounds pretty good to me. Now, if we went to the cops...
In case you haven't heard, Ken, horsing around with the law is a pretty serious matter.
Okay. Isn't Mike Waring a buddy of yours?
Who?
That private dick they call a Falcon.
What about him?
Think he'd play ball?
No. No, Mike wouldn't touch anything that's phony.
Why would he have to know? Suppose we cooked up some anonymous phone call.
It's out.
Why? Because I thought of it.
Ken, don't be ridiculous.
Well, we're going to handle it my way. We'll hire the Falcon to be my bodyguard. Then you leak it to the papers.
Ought to be worth a couple of columns.
I don't like it, Ken.
Well, I don't like paying your salary while I dream up the ideas. Now go call Waring. Set up a date.
Well, that's the story, Mike. After the third phone call, Ken thought we ought to do something about it.
I see.
Not that I was worried, you understand. I can take care of myself, but I had to think of Laura.
Laura?
My wife. You know how a gal worries.
Mm-hmm. Tell me some more about these phone calls, Marlowe. Do you recognize the voice?
No, I thought it was a gag at first.
What convinced you otherwise?
Well, this morning, someone took a pot shot at me while I was playing golf with Steve.
Did you report it to the police?
He didn't want to, Mike, but I insisted.
What did they say?
They thought it was a publicity stunt.
Is this?
No.
You sure, Steve?
Oh, now, look, Mike, you've known me for how many years? 10, 12? I think I've always leveled with you.
Well, I'm sorry, but you can't blame me for being suspicious. Who did you talk to at headquarters?
A Sergeant Corbett. Now, there's a phony if I ever met one.
He happens to be a friend of mine.
Well, no offense, old man. I only meant...
Skip it. Have you any idea who might be after you?
No.
You indulging in any extracurricular activities?
What do you mean?
Women.
You take me for an idiot? I'm married to the greatest little gal in the world.
Mm-hmm. You owe anybody any money?
No, I'm the kind who pays his bills and always on the dot.
You sound too good to be true.
Huh?
The more I hear of this, the more I'm convinced Corbett was right.
Come again?
The way you tell it, you're the most popular man in the class.
Okay, if that's the way you feel, we'll get somebody else. There are other private detectives in New York.
And better, too.
Come on, Steve.
I'm sorry, Mike.
Forget it. It's not your fault. Just say it's a clash of personalities.
You coming, Steve?
Yeah. So long, pal. I'll be seeing you.
You bet. Give me a call before you leave town.
I will. Well, I hope you're satisfied.
I am. I think Waring's going to work out fine.
So help me, you're nuts. Didn't you hear him say...
I know
say
what
that...
he said. He thinks this is a publicity stunt. Well, all he caught was the prologue. He'll play ball after the first act.
What are you talking about?
Let's find a phone. I gotta cast the show. And I know just the boy to play the lead.
Yeah?
Is Tex Riley around?
Who wants to know?
Tell him it's Ken Marlowe.
Why, you no good louse. How can you have the nerve?
Keep your shirt on, Tex. Bet you thought I forgot about that $100 you loaned me before I went to Hollywood.
Well, didn't you?
No, this is my first trip to New York in 6 years.
You could have mailed it.
Ah, that's too impersonal. I wanted to give it to you myself with a little bonus. How would you like to pick up an additional $500?
That don't sound like the Ken Marlowe I know and hate. What do I have to do?
Well, I got a little part I'd like you to try out for.
In a picture?
It's a play I'm going to produce on my own. But first, I'd like to see a dress rehearsal.
I don't get it.
Well, my wife doesn't know anything about this, and I'd like to test her reaction. If you meet me in the Creighton lobby in 20 minutes, we'll run over the script.
Laura, you better order some more ice. I'm running low.
Oh, all right, Ken.
While you're at it, get some ginger.
You expecting someone?
Well, Steve Nichols said he might drop around. Answer the door.
Just a second.
Well, hiya, sugar.
I beg your pardon.
I beg yours. Is the Hollywood hotshot in?
Who is it, Laura?
Well,
Never mind. I'll announce myself. Hiya, Marlowe.
Who the devil are you?
Oh, just an autograph hound.
Get out.
Now, where'd I put my pencil? I had it right here. Hey, look at what I found.
Ken!
What's the idea of the gun?
Well, you can't say you weren't warned, Marlowe. You owe a friend of mine some dough. He told you to get it up, since you did.
No, you can't.
Get out of my way, sir.
No.
Will you stop butting in?
I'm not afraid.
You don't know what you're doing.
Yes, I do.
Look, lady, I got nothing against you. Now, get out of the way.
See what a hero he is, Ken? He's afraid of a woman half his size.
I'm warning you, baby. If you don't get out of the way, I'll...
Oh, that you, Haskell?
No, it's me, Sergeant.
Well, if it ain't that high-flying bird, the Falcon. Welcome to our little nest.
Who writes your material?
A fellow out in California. He works real cheap.
He should. Say, was Ken Marlowe around to see you this morning?
Yeah. I spotted it for a publicity stunt.
Yeah, that's what I thought at first, too, but I changed my mind. Someone tried to gun him an hour ago.
Obviously, they didn't make it.
How do you know?
Well, I already talked to you, Mr. Marlowe. Here's the jacket of the bullet we found in the room. What do you make of it?
It's a blank.
That's right, Mr. Waring. It's a blank. Marlowe was in no danger at all.
Well, I guess that makes me the chump of the year.
I guess it does.
Well, I had a little help. Okay, Sarge, I'll be seeing you. I got to thank the man who thought me so deserving.
That you, Laura?
Sorry to disappoint you, Marlowe.
Oh, hey, Waring. Sit down.
No, thanks. I just dropped by to congratulate you on a magnificent performance.
What's eating you?
It was a beautiful job of sucking me in. You hired whoever took that shot at you.
You're nuts.
What I can't figure out is how your wife got in the act. What happened? She had to live apart for herself?
Huh?
I don't think she knew the bullet was a blank. You don't rate a gal like that.
You got your nerve. Get out.
Does that mean I'm fired?
What do you think?
Good. Because I hate to hit a client. Come on, Marlowe. We can't end the scene with you on the floor. Your public would never stand for it. Now get up and make like a hero. Hiya, Mike.
Oh, hi, Sergeant. I didn't expect to see you again today.
Well, you know me. Always do the unexpected. Are you up to see Ken Marlowe?
Yeah.
What happened?
Nothing worth talking about.
Oh, you're too modest.
All right, so I slapped him a couple of times. He had it coming.
Maybe the slaps, but not the rest.
What are you talking about?
He's dead, Mike.
He's what?
He's out for all time. Were you wearing brass knucks?
You're crazy.
I wish I were. Better get your coat, fella. We got a long ride ahead.
An hour has passed since Mike Waring was informed Ken Marlowe was dead. And now at the scene of the crime, Sergeant Corbett gives our hero some fatherly advice.
Listen, Mike, I got it all figured out. I'm sure you'll be able to cop a plea.
What are you babbling about?
Well, it was self-defense, wasn't it? You didn't mean to kill him.
And I didn't. When I left here, he was at the other end of the room.
With the back of his head caved in?
Well, that's just it, Corbett. How did it get that way? I didn't slug him from behind.
Well, he must have hit it when he fell.
Against what, that sofa? Wouldn't hurt a fly.
How about the fireplace?
No, he wasn't anywhere near it. There'd be bloodstains if he were. Now, there must be something around that caused the damage.
The familiar blunt instrument?
Yeah, let's see those fire tongs.
Clean.
Well, how about those bookends?
Oh, not a stain on them. Listen, Mike, maybe the killer took the weapon with him.
Does that mean you're absolving me?
If we can come up with some evidence... You think the murderer might have walked off with it?
I doubt it. A lot of blood flowed. I can't see anyone taking a chance on staining his clothes.
Well, he didn't leave it around for us to find.
Hey, wait a minute. There's something missing in this room.
What?
And that's just the trouble. I can't... I got it. Liquor.
What are you talking about?
Marlowe was a drinker. A boy like him would have at least one bottle around.
Say, you're right.
Where's the trash basket?
Probably in the pantry.
Well, let's get it. The killer might gamble. The next time the chambermaid came through, she'd dump it without a second glance.
Yeah. Quite a collection, huh?
There's our baby.
Don't touch it.
I won't, but mine are probably the only fingerprints that aren't on it. Everyone else who was up here must have been invited to help himself.
Yeah, you're probably right. Haskell, take this down to the lab.
Well, now you're convinced I had nothing to do with this murder?
Yeah. But if you didn't kill Marlowe, who did?
That's what I intend to find out.
Why don't you stay out of this, Mike?
Oh, no. Whoever tailored this frame did a lovely job. It's just lucky I didn't fit the picture. You can't blame me if I want to get my hands on the artist.
I tell you, Mike, I don't know anything about it. First I heard of it was when the cops phoned me they found Ken's body.
Whose bright idea was this publicity stunt in the first place, Steve?
Ken's. I didn't want any part of it.
Then why did you bring him to me?
I couldn't help myself, Mike. I was working for the man.
Yeah, that's another thing I don't understand. How come you tied up with a heel like Marlowe?
The dough was good.
When did you last get it?
Huh?
According to what I hear now, he was strictly no pay. When did you get your last salary check? Come on, Steve. It'll be easy enough to find out.
3 months ago.
Then why did you stick? He was on the skids.
No, he wasn't. National had till Friday to pick up his option.
You think they would have?
Well, there's no telling. It was an even money bet.
Well, who had it in for him?
No one.
Look, Steve, we're no longer playing games. If he owed you dough, he must have owed others.
Jackie Howard.
Who's Jackie Howard?
He owns a gambling joint off the strip. Ken was into him for around 20 grand.
Is this Howard character in town?
Yeah, staying at the Brighton.
Okay, we got one suspect. Let's try for two. What about Mrs. Marlowe?
Don't talk like a chump. She was in love with the guy.
Well, he certainly didn't rate a wife like that.
Nobody does.
Oh, sounds like you go for her yourself.
Oh, don't be silly. You know I'm married.
I suppose you feel like a big brother to her.
That's exactly how I feel.
You know something, Steve? I believe you.
Thanks.
No, I mean it. I think Laura explains why you continued working for Marlowe. Maybe that's why you knocked yourself out suppressing those items that would have ruined him. You didn't want her hurt, right?
Yeah.
Why, Steve?
Won't make any sense to you, Mike.
Oh, try me.
First day I met her, she reminded me of Edith.
Edith?
My kid sister. She was married to a boy like Ken.
And what happened to her?
She's dead.
Oh, sorry.
Maybe she's better off.
So you transferred your feelings to Laura?
Anything wrong with that?
No, I think it's very commendable. Still, I wonder how Laura feels about it.
Huh?
Yeah, why don't I find out?
Oh, look, Mike, you're not to bother her. She knows nothing about Ken's murder.
Yeah, well, I've only got your word for it, Steve. Not that I don't believe you, understand. But I'd like to check these things for myself. I'll be seeing you, fella.
Who is it?
I'd like to see Laura Marlowe.
There's no one here by that name.
I know there is. This is Mike Waring, Mrs. Marlowe.
Please go away.
I've got to talk to you. Believe me, I wouldn't disturb you, but it's important.
Come in.
Thanks.
How'd you know I was here?
Sergeant Corbett told me. I just saw Steve Nichols.
And Steve sent you here?
No, as a matter of fact, he insisted I leave you alone.
Well, why'd you come?
Because I want to solve your husband's murder.
Ken meant nothing to you.
He was a client.
He tricked you.
I still took his money. Besides, whoever killed him involved me. I don't forget things like that. Now tell me, what sort of a man was your husband?
You must have some idea.
Yes, but I'd like the woman's viewpoint.
He was wonderful.
Oh, come now, Angel. You can't expect me to buy that. I heard...
I don't care what you heard. Sure, he took a drink once in a while. Is there anything wrong with that?
What about slapping you around?
He never did.
Well, you can't blame me for jumping to conclusions. It would take a blind man not to notice those bruises on your face and arm. How did you get them?
I fell.
Question is, did Ken push you?
How dare you?
Now look, Mrs. Marlowe, I don't mean to be obnoxious, but we've got a murder to solve. Did your husband play around on the outside?
No.
What about those stories?
Lies, every one of them. They were started by his enemies.
Oh, so he was just a misunderstood kid.
No. I understood him, and that's all that counted.
All right, Mrs. Marlowe. I think you're telling the truth.
I'm overwhelmed.
Well, you should be, because if Jackie Howard doesn't turn out to be a liar, I won't know what to do. Take care of yourself, Angel. I got to run along.
Front, take the gentleman back to 419, please.
Telegram, Jackie Howard.
Right here, boy.
Hello, Jackie. My name is Mike Waring.
What's the idea?
Well, this was the only way I could think of to get acquainted. I'd like to talk to you about Ken Marlowe.
You a reporter?
No, private detective.
Who are you representing?
Myself. I understand Marlowe was in hock to you.
Where you understand that from?
Oh, you mind holding that match? Thanks.
Who told you Marlowe was into me?
Steve Nichols.
Well, I got a flash for Steve. Marlowe took care of those IOUs this morning.
I don't see how. He owed you 19 grand. According to the police, he had only 800 bucks in his checking account.
He paid me in cash.
Oh, got it out of his mattress, I suppose.
Well, now that you mention it, I believe he did.
You know, Jackie, you're a welcome change from everybody else in this case.
Am I?
Yeah, they were telling the truth.
Suppose I showed you the money.
Well, you probably could. A boy like you always travels well-heeled. But can you prove it came from Marlowe?
Well, let's look at it another way. Can you prove it didn't?
If I can, it'll make you a choice suspect.
You know, Waring, There's one thing I don't like about New York. There must be something in the air that makes everybody run off at the mouth.
I suppose it's different on the coast?
Well, we have a special treatment for those who do.
I'd like to see it.
I'll have to discuss it first with a fellow Californian. But don't be discouraged. I'll get back to you.
Yes?
Hello, Steve.
Oh, hiya, Jackie. I thought by now you'd be on your way back to the coast.
You thought wrong. Say, you got yourself a nice little spot here.
Look, Jackie, I don't want to seem rude, but I was just on my way out.
Oh, relax. I won't stay long. Too bad about Cannon.
Yeah.
What do you think killed him?
I have no idea.
Oh, you must have, Steve. You're a bright boy.
No, I'm not.
Maybe you're right. Now, I had you pegged as the kind who kept his nose clean.
And don't I?
Not in my book. Why don't you tell Mike Waring that Marlowe owed me money?
He asked me.
You're the real helpful type, aren't you?
I do my best, yeah.
Sometimes it doesn't pay. People don't appreciate it.
Oh, he's dirty.
What's the matter, boy? Can't you catch your breath?
Dirty.
Maybe that's a good thing. You talk too much anyway. Little of Doc Howard's treatment may break the habit. Hold still, Steve. I'm afraid this is gonna hurt.
Hours have passed since Steve Nichols received a little of Jackie Howard's specialized treatment. And now in Steve's hotel room, we find him recuperating from the visit.
Where's the doctor? You sure you gave him the right room number?
Now, take it easy, Laura. He'll be here. All right, Steve, try some of this. Come on, it's good for what ails you.
Mike.
Don't talk, just drink it down.
I'm all right. How did you find me?
She called me.
How do you feel, darling?
Laura...
Here, raise your head. I'll fix the pillow.
You're a doll.
Who did it, Steve?
Huh?
Who gave you the shellacking?
I don't know.
Come on, Steve. You can't hold out.
Look, must you question him now?
Yes, I'm afraid I must. This is all tied up with your husband's murder. It was Jackie Howard, wasn't it?
Yes.
Why did he do it?
I have no idea.
You know anything that would definitely mark him as Marlowe's killer?
No.
You sure, Steve? Anything at all?
I can't think of a thing.
You've got to. It's our only chance of making this come out the way we want.
I don't understand.
Well, Jackie must have felt he had good reason to give Steve that beating.
What do you mean?
Well, you don't feel Laura killed her husband.
What?
Oh, now look, Mike, I told you.
I take it you don't, so that brings us back to Jackie again. Now, what would be his motive in killing Marlowe?
Well, Ken owed him money.
Well, how could he be sure Marlowe wouldn't raise it?
Ken couldn't. We were broke.
But you would have been on Easy Street if National picked up his option.
I don't think they would.
Still, where there's life, there's hope. You told me they had till the 23rd. Today is the 18th.
So?
So Jackie would be sucker not to wait it out.
What are you getting at?
Well, if neither you nor Jackie killed your husband, who does that leave?
I don't know.
Yes, you do. It's Steve.
No!
Yes, that's why Howard gave him that pasting. He felt Steve cost him 19 grand.
I don't believe it. You didn't do it, Steve. Tell me. Tell me, I gotta know.
He's right, Laura.
Why? Why? Ken never hurt you.
No. But he hurt you.
He was the only man I ever loved, and you killed him.
But don't you see, honey? I was only trying...
Don't touch me. I hate you.
Oh, Laura, listen.
Get away from me.
Mike, explain to...
I can't.
He was no good.
And she loved him. I'm sorry, Steve. I've got to call the police.
What do you say, Mike? Some more coffee?
No, thanks, Sergeant.
Oh, come on, come on. Cheer up. What are you dragging for?
Well, you must have some idea. Steve Nichols was my friend.
And he committed a murder.
Well, there's no question about that.
Tell me something. Was he in love with Laura?
If he was, he was able to kid himself into believing it was strictly platonic. He thought Marlowe was hard-timing her.
Well, he was right.
No, he wasn't.
You mean there was nothing to those stories about Marlowe playing around?
Oh, they were true enough. But they didn't mean a thing to Laura. She was in love with him, and that's all that counted. This goes to prove it's awful dangerous to play God. You never know what's best for other people.